The reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can meet here in freedom. We can meet around your word, and we pray, Lord, that you will open this word for each and every one of us. Open our hearts to receive it. Set our hearts on fire for you, and be with us throughout the rest of this time, but also throughout the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Deuteronomy, the fifth book from the Pentateuch. You could say the last in my mini-series, but I may well go back and do another sermon on this book. It was Jesus' favourite book. He quoted more from Deuteronomy than any other book in the Bible. It appears 97 times in the New Testament, and 356 times it's quoted in later books in the Old Testament, just underlying how important it is for each and every one of us. So a little background. Deuteronomy, in a way, is one long sermon or talk, split up into little sections throughout the chapters. It's given by Moses before his death. The book recounts the teaching and events of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The Ten Commandments are recounted in chapters 5 and again in chapter 6. God gives Moses instructions to give to Israel. He is to exhort the Israelites regarding God's law. Deuteronomy, as I said, is quoted 96 times in the New Testament. And chapter 6 is an exhortation of love, obedience, and fear. By keeping his commandments, God asks us to pass them on to future generations. And my friends, there is a pattern here in this chapter. We're not going to look at the whole chapter. We're only going to look at the first 9 verses. Firstly, keep God's commands, verses 1 to 3. Teach them to your children, verses 4 to 9. Do not forget God, verses 10 to 15. Keep God's commands, 16 to 19. And teach them to your children, 20 to 26. So you see a pattern emerging there. And I think this passage highlights why teaching our children and grandchildren is so important, with the central point being, do not forget God. So firstly, teach them to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is concerned with the individual's obedience to God, but it is also concerned with families. And throughout this passage, it is all about keeping God's commands, a constantly reference to our children along with obedience. Verse 2, you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Now, before the pandemic and when John Brown was fitter, he and I used to go for a walk once a week or once a fortnight, either along the Kennet or along the Thames. And once we had spoken about our children, because my children and his children knew one another quite well, once we'd caught up with news, we would spend the rest of the walk, which was probably 2 hours in length, talking about the Lord, talking about certain passages, playing, you might say, a childish game. He would ask me where such and such a passage came from. Likewise, I would do the same with him. He would tell me what his sermon was going to be on Sunday, and we would think of some headings. But it was such a blessing and such a joy. That time spent just casually out in the open air, talking about the scriptures and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what Moses is emphasizing here, that not only when we're at home should we talk about the Lord, but when we're out and about, as we walk along the road, or in my case, along the River Kennet, along the Kennet Canal, or along the River Thames. And there is no better passage on the subject than we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to 9. Central to this passage is what the Jews call the Shema, from the Hebrew for hear. God wants us to hear him speaking to us. As verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This verse teaches the exclusiveness of God. We are to worship no one else. James, in his letter in chapter 1, verse 22, says this: do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. The Shema is followed by what we call the Great Commandment, verse 5, our memory verse for this day. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And Jesus quotes this and says that all the law and prophets depend on this command, and also on the command to love your neighbor as yourself. That God alone is our Lord means we are to worship him with our all. But we must not forget what follows these two magnificent verses. How are we to love God with our whole being and honor the Lord as our exclusive King? Well, verses 4 to 5 told us, and the words of the Lord are to be on our hearts. Verse 6, we are to teach God's word to our children and make them part of everything we do, sitting, walking, lying down, rising up, verse 7. God's design for the family is to make God's word a part of everything we do, whether it's a family meals, family devotions, attending church, schooling our children, playing sports. Everything is to involve the word of God. His word should be read, meditated on, and memorized. But more so, we ought to be applying God's word to every aspect of life. We want to think God's thoughts after him. And this is how we help our whole family, ourselves, our spouse, excuse me, and children, to love God with our whole being. We make God's word central to our lives. The question is, do we? Important here is the role of parents, and this passage has its New Testament counterpart in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents have great authority over their children, and with this comes the great responsibility of training their children in the way of God. Let us not underestimate the greatness of this task. It is for our good. Faithfulness in this area may lead to a godly line of descendants, while unfaithfulness may lead to apostasy and shame upon families. Do not forget God. Jennifer didn't read this passage because I'm only going to briefly look at it. This leads us to our last point, that we are not to forget the Lord our God. We are to keep God's commands, and we are to train up our children in his ways so that we may not forget God and go after false gods. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 10 to 15 speaks of when the Israelites come into the land of Canaan and receive all the good things they did not build. At that point, they were not to forget God. And this applies to us as well. When we have all our good things, our houses, our food, our jobs, our cars, our electronic devices, we are not to forget our Lord. We are not to go after the gods of the people who are around us. Something I was taught 40 odd years ago was that everything we have belongs to God. We are just trustees of it. We think it's ours and we hold on to it. But we are to hold it lightly. The day will come when we leave it behind. The day will come when we will stand before the throne of God and have to give an account of every moment we've spent on this life. We'll be amazed at how many opportunities we've missed telling others about Jesus. How we've robbed God in our giving. This church is very, very generous. Very generous. Give an account of how much time we spend in his word. Yet sadly, that is exactly what many Christians have done. Apostasy runs rampant in the UK today. And this can be seen by comparing the younger generation, say the 20s and 30s, with their grandparents' generation. What was once a church-going people with a basic Christian morality is gone. And we now have a generation who do not go to church, who reject biblical marriage and morality, and want more government control and less personal responsibility. I read an article just recently that examines just how much our nation has declined. It shows that we are less religious, less industrious, less honest, and less involved in the community than previous generations. This article was looking at the state of Britain since 1950. How did this decline happen? Many Christians were unfaithful in their parental tasks. Of course, there were other factors, including an increasing secular media, that increasingly secular school system. It's hard to avoid the conclusions that our educational system, including universities, has been the driving force behind our secularism that now dominates modern Britain. Our schools have turned out generations who have no regard for God and His Word. I thank God that both my primary school and my secondary school were founded on strong biblical foundations. The grammar school held a 30-minute service each morning in the local church. My friends, that is why God tells us to teach our children so that they do not forget the promises and holiness of God. And that applies to our grandchildren. That applies to any children that we know around us. So in conclusion, we must return to our Lord, and it's never too late. Christ is able to forgive even those who have forsaken him. Jesus died to bring us to God, and he calls us back to him even now. Do you remember the day you invited Jesus Christ into your life and you were absolutely on fire to tell others? I remember the day I gave my life to the Lord, and I rushed back to my flat and I tried to tell my flatmate the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and what he'd just done to me. My flatmate thought I'd been brainwashed, but he turned from being an atheist to an agnostic over those 4 years that I shared with him. My friends, are you still on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you still want to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ? I call it gossiping the gospel. And we're coming to that time of year when it's much easier to tell others. As we start thinking about Christmas and Christmas carols and Christmas parties and so on and Christmas meals, the chance of just sitting and talking about Jesus to those around us. My friends, God is calling us to first seek him individually, to seek to worship him and keep his commands. And then he is calling us to dedicate our children to him and our grandchildren and raise them up in his ways. We must dedicate ourselves to Christian education. We must try and get into our local primary schools and continue in our local secondary schools. The joy is, with the exception of Prospect, the secondary schools around us welcome us. This alone is how we will pass on the faith from generation to generation, so that our children and our children's children may walk with Jesus. Deuteronomy exhorts us to remember, and to remember at least three essential characteristics about God: his faithfulness, his holiness, and his promises. Remember, dear friends, to learn from the past and obey in the future. So know God, love God, obey God, and he will bless you. That is the promise from Deuteronomy.